Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Zafalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubzafalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. Miss Music Nerd.
Hello.
Your first review here on Berg Vivant.
Yes,
welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome to the world of Berg Vivant contributors.
I'm
it's
very
lovely
excited.
To have you here. And just a few evenings ago, actually last evening, you saw the performance, the opener of the Pittsburgh New Music Ensemble's 2014 season.
Right.
And the title of this piece was
The Lost Traveler.
Tell me about The Lost Traveler.
Well, it was a vision of what it is like to be human in the world, in fact, which is a very ambitious and large undertaking, but I felt it was very successful. There were several different pieces by, how many composers? Four different composers, and the production was assembled in a way to create this journey of finding one's identity and perhaps having that identity broken down a bit. So it was challenging and difficult and captured life and existence in all its beauty and terror.
Wow. And you, what I thought was interesting is a musical piece, which typically is sound, you described it as gave a vision of what it is like.
Yes.
To be alive.
Yes, it did. One of the things that the Pittsburgh New Music Ensemble does very well is they create a program that is unified in concept. They'll have, a certain number of different composers and different styles of music, but they always have a theme. So everything makes sense as a dramatic whole. So there is an artistic term that I like to think of in connection with this, which comes from German, and it is Gesamtkunstwerk.
Gesundheit.
Thank you very much. So, Germans like to run several words together into one large term. So this is Gesamt, total, Kunst, art, Werk, work. So Gesamtkunstwerk, which means a unification of all of the different art forms into one in service of an overarching vision. Classical musicians will be familiar with it in connection with the opera composer Richard Wagner. But what Kevin Noh and the ensemble have done is recreated this in the context of new music. And I think it's very exciting because often when you go to any kind of classical concert, and particularly a new music concert, you'll see a succession of pieces. And if it's chamber music, there might be a different number of players for each piece.
Sure, sure.
So that the stage has to be reset between pieces, and the mood then is broken a little bit, and it's kind of one thing after another, which might be beautiful and might be well done and so on. But what they do that I love so much is it starts and nothing is broken about the mood until the very end. There's no intermission.
Wow.
You don't applaud between pieces. It goes from one to the other so that you can really see the vision that's being created. It's very powerful.
And it, for something that portrays what it's the experience of living, I imagine that it's not all wine and roses every day,
No.
So how did this piece make you feel? What emotionally did you take away from this?
I was really a puddle of jelly by the end of it, I have to say. And, I had heard some of the pieces before. So in that sense, I knew what to expect, but the way that it was all put together made everything seem like more than just the sum of its parts.
Wow.
And it began with music that was very beautiful. So there was a piece by the composer Kevin Putz, who's a young composer, a recent Pulitzer Prize winner,
wow,
and a composer who has been performed by the ensemble several times.
I didn't even realize they gave Pulitzer Prize for composition, for music.
Yes, they do.
Shame on me for not knowing that.
Now you know, and you look up the previous
Well, congratulations to him, absolutely.
Yeah. So his piece was a piece that has, let's see, four or five different movements, and the movements were inspired by visual art. So again, that's the connection with the larger theme of unifying the art forms. And it's different aspects of the process of life. So the movements have titles like Fire Birth. What else? Because I don't have my program with me, sorry. I can look that up later. But
sure, yeah.
Dreams, it's about dreams and going forth and all this kinds of thing. And the music is very beautiful and lyrical. And it's a quartet. It has piano, clarinet, violin, and cello. And it was off to one side of the stage. Now, tell me as a theater person, if I'm in the audience and it's to my left, that is stage left?
That would be correct. Stage right.
That would be stage right.
Okay. Because stage directions would always be from the performer or the actor's point of view. So it would be opposite to what you would see in the audience.
Mm-hmm. So this was, to my thinking, the beauty of life was captured by this music. And ordinarily, his piece would be performed all in a row, all of the movements in a row. But what they did was they interspersed his piece with other pieces. And I wonder what the composer would think about that. Because when you're a composer, you usually have a vision for your piece and you know exactly how you want it done.
And what's great about new music is he's still around that we could ask him.
Yes, exactly. Now, he wasn't in attendance because I'm not sure where he lives, but not in Pittsburgh. So it would be interesting. And I actually spoke to the artistic director about that later. I said, do you discuss it with the composers or ask them in advance or just tell them after the fact? And he said that he doesn't necessarily ask them because they might say no.
That's a wonderful reason not to ask.
Oh, it's very much the better to beg for forgiveness than ask for permission kind of procedure. And I think they're very bold in their vision. And I think Kevin is aware that sometimes it might work and sometimes it might not. And he just kind of forges on. And it's great because he's not afraid to fail. And I felt that they really succeeded last night.
What do you feel were some of the other standout aspects of the performance?
I have to acknowledge the percussion player of the ensemble, Ian Rosenbaum, who played three solo pieces. Two of them were by a Greek composer who became a French citizen named Yannis Xenakis. Fans of new music will know him because his music was very much based on architecture and mathematical models. He was an architect by training. So his music has a complexity to it, but it's also very physical and visceral and, in fact, ferocious.
Ferocious.
Especially the way it was performed last night.
Ferocious percussion. Now, when you say solo, was it one instrument? What?
He had a setup of instruments, so a large bass drum, some small wood blocks.
So he was all over the place.
Several other things, yes.
One-man band, kind of.
Exactly.
Ah.
Yes. And it was completely spellbinding. And so three different performances, three different pieces. One of them he played barefoot, and that was very kind of visceral. The second one he played wearing a white mask, like a plain white mask. And there was also a visual aspect that they brought in where they had someone walk across the back of the stage behind a scrim wearing a suit and tie and this white mask. And I think it was an attempt to capture this idea that we're born and we have to sort of figure out an identity and assume an identity, and then eventually we have to try to strip it away because we find that it's not really authentic. So you saw this figure with a white mask walking across the back of the stage, and to be honest, I found it a little bit terrifying. It was just kind of like, wow, being a human in the world is difficult.
Tell me about it, sister.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, now I'm really seeing what you mean by, you know, how dramatic this is. It's not just sit down and play music. I mean, it really envelops all of the senses in a way. But played barefoot. What, did he play something with his feet? What was the significance of
No, he didn't. And I'm not sure if it was just that he feels more solid on the floor that way, or if there was something symbolic about it. But it was just a little detail that I noticed. So maybe that piece was more closer to before you have an identity put upon you and you can feel more natural. The second piece, he wore a suit and shoes and the mask. And that piece was even more ferocious, though. So there was some dramatic symbolism there.
You know, this is something a lot of people might not know about me, but I don't like to wear shoes.
Oh, really?
If I can avoid it, I do. You know, I'm a sandals kind of guy in the summertime. Right? I don't know why, you know?
What kind of sandals do you wear with a tux, though?
Black and white. Or on this show, any kind I want, because you can't see them.
Are there wingtip spectator sandals?
No, but there ought to be. Now, this is clever, because there could be a whole line of dress sandal.
Yes.
That I could, you know, kind of get into. Mm-hmm. I think maybe the Croc was trying to be that, but I don't wear Crocs. Oh, now, the thing I can't stand is the sandal where it puts the little thing to split your
toe. I can't
stand
that either.
Doesn't work. Mm-hmm. I got to slip right in and it's off to the beach.
My toes can't be restrained.
Right. What is that?
That way. Now it's terrible.
Yeah. So, yeah, I applaud this fella for going barefoot, hey, you know?
Yes. But there was even more than that. So, at the very beginning of the program, there was a chair center stage that had a suit of clothes draped over it. The belt and the jacket and the shirt. And at the end, and I knew this was coming because I had seen this piece performed before. There's a piece called Corporel by a composer named Vinko Globokar. And it is a piece where the percussion player uses his or her own body as the instrument.
Now, that's there's a lot of open possibilities there.
That's true.
Can you describe how that's done in a little more detail?
I will do my best. So this was the closing piece on the program. And after all of this beauty and terror had been presented, Ian Rosenbaum came out on the stage wearing his jacket and tie and his shoes and everything. And he began to remove articles of clothing.
So elements of burlesque.
Well, it could have been that way.
I'm sure more artistic.
And it was very risky because that could easily be something that would be titillating and maybe a little bit controversial. But the way that they staged it, I felt they avoided that.
They handled it well and carefully.
Yes,
then,
they did, because it was really about, again, this idea of stripping away your identity and confronting the difficulty of being human. Now, I happen to know that this particular piece was called for in its score, in its instructions, for the performer to be shirtless and barefoot and sitting on a bare floor and using their body as an instrument. So kind of slapping different parts of the body, bony parts and soft parts to make different sounds.
Wow.
Vocalizing with, you know, the voice and the mouth and making sort of smacking noises with the mouth. Rustling hands through the hair to make a kind of sound like that, which is connected with the Song of Pittsburgh that you and
yes, thank you for bringing that back. We're going to have to get that on a CD here before long.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he sat down on the floor, stripped down to his shorts, and performed this piece, which the piece could be done in a comic way. It could be done in a kind of absurdist Dadaist theater way, but the way that he did it felt to me very psychological, very much like someone who was perhaps almost having a psychotic break, but just, and the way that Kevin No described it in terms of how he sees the piece is that he sees it as stripping away anything that had accumulated during the course of one's life, all of the identity and experience and baggage that happens, just stripping it away and dealing with the rawness of being alive.
This is deep.
It was very deep and it was very powerful, and I think that some of the people in the audience were a little bit shocked that this was happening. It wasn't what you expect when you go to hear a chamber music performance, but it was very powerful, and at the end of it, I was a puddle of jelly, personally, even though I knew what to expect to some degree. But
you couldn't help but be affected.
Yes, because I was very interested in what they were doing psychologically and dramatically, and it worked on me. Now, I didn't really go in as an objective observer. I already knew that I liked what the group did, but that could have created an expectation that could have been disappointed.
Sure, sure.
I went in with high expectations, but I wasn't disappointed. It was very effective, very powerful experience. So I hope that people will give them a try. And one thing that is interesting about it is the first time you go and hear the ensemble, you get in for free.
Yes, I heard that. The rumors are true.
The first one's free, and then when you come back, they start charging. So,
wow. Pittsburgh New Music Ensemble will move you.
It will.
Indeed.
Right.
Now, it's, for those of us who didn't see it, it's a shame because this was a one-night-only performance. But
actually, it's two nights.
Oh, it is.
It's
it
being done again tonight, Saturday night.
Okay, although by the time we air, it might be a little beyond that.
It will
but,
be, yes.
The good news is that this is the opening production of Pittsburgh New Works or Pittsburgh New Music Ensembles.
This was the opening weekend.
2014 season. Mm-hmm. So if you weren't able to see this, there are plenty more chances
within
the season, which is all this summer, to see. So what are some things coming up? I remember seeing the program. They have a lot of interesting concerts lined up for
they
us.
They do. So they will be performing for the next three consecutive weekends.
Mm-hmm.
There is also a Wednesday evening performance, I believe it's July 23rd, which will be a solo violin performance by the violinist from the ensemble. So she'll be playing several different pieces. Some of them have electronics along with them, because there is a focus on technology in new music, which is very interesting. But every program has some kind of dramatic vision or other. The one that is coming up next week is called the Cage Variations.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And it is inspired by the cage, which, time out for a moment, I'd have to look up what that is, because it's not the composer John Cage.
Who There's a different Cage.
Heard of, yes.
Oh.
It's either a poem or a painting.
Nicolas Cage?
Not Nicolas Cage.
Oh, that's the only other Cage I know.
Right. but it is, it was a commission, and it's a composer's kind of reimagining of some pre-existing pieces.
Hmm.
So it will juxtapose some of those pieces with the new interpretations. So that should be very exciting.
Right. So yeah, they've got a great season for us, and this is the beginning.
It is. So, and it's the next month until the first weekend of August, which is kind of unusual. It's almost like a summer festival. Most ensembles will have three or four concerts interspersed throughout the year, but partly because they have performers who come in from elsewhere, who used to live in Pittsburgh but have gone on to great things, they bring everyone together for the 4 weeks and do the whole season, and everyone should go.
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, cheers to Pittsburgh New Music Ensemble and their upcoming season, and to you, Miss Music Nerd.
Thank you very
cheers
much.
Cheers indeed. In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and Bergvavant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find Bergvavant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvavant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.